a little twist going on here.
There is
I'm Ben
twist.
Brust, joined by Josh DiMaggio in for Kyle Wallace, and on the Yuengling guest hotline is Jason Wilde. Jason, what do we owe the pleasure?
Well, hello, gentlemen. Long-time caller, no-time listener. great to be on the program. Well, I just thought it was worthwhile. And believe me, in no way am I calling to apologize. Because I think I made a funny joke today on social media. And I saw you got wind of it as well. And it was all in good fun. You know I love you, Ben. Have you made my job harder sometimes? By being a knucklehead? Absolutely. Do I
Not
still think you're a talent? It has been a while, and I want to acknowledge that.
Yes, appreciate that.
I mean, I don't mean to be negative, but there's probably a pretty good chance it'll happen again. But it has definitely been a while.
We're not out of the woods.
And yeah, exactly. Just gotta be careful. But I just wanted to say, because this was, I actually saw it because our friend Matt LePay retweeted it. And I don't spend a lot of time on Twitter anymore, as you know, but I was glad I came across this. A clutch shot that you made against Oregon, and he made a really good point about how everybody remembers the half-court heave, but that was a big-time shot. And I just thought, you know, I jokingly, emphasis on jokingly, said, wait, Ben Brust used to play basketball? I thought he was just a hot take artist. No, I didn't have that part. But I just wanted to recognize, and I actually wanted to ask you, because what's cool about that, and, you know, we all that do this have had varying sports experiences, right? Like, you know, I hit my only high school home run in a game that we lost to Shoreland Lutheran, like 13-3. But it was a great moment for me, but I really hate losing, and so I never really enjoyed it that much as mm-hmm. I probably should have. I watched Sydney and Maddie compete, and I try to emphasize to them, look, every one of these opportunities are such a great gift, and just enjoy every minute of it. Play hard. You know, if it's not good enough, it's not good enough, but enjoy this, because someday you're going to be old like me, and you're going to wish you could still do this. And I just thought, after watching that reel a couple of times, that is a feeling that most of us will never experience. Like, even if you play at, like, grade school or high school or small, whatever you play, the opportunity to hit, make a big base hit or a big basket or a big catch or a big throw, whatever it might be, a big goal, in a clutch situation like that, like, most of us don't get to experience that. So I wanted to just call in and ask you your memories of that moment, and I think you guys should reshare it on social, because it was really, it had a profound effect on me, and I know that I've never put the phrase Ben Brust and had a profound effect on me in the same sentence until today.
I don't think I'm living on the same universe that I've lived in the last 34 years right now, Jason. You know, I think you'll love the backstory to what you're talking about. For those who don't know, Jason was posting a clip from the round of 32 in 2014 against Oregon at the Bradley Center. So people always ask me, as a Wisconsin Badger basketball player, like, half-court shot against Michigan, and people came up to me before the show and talked about that with me, actually, here at Summerfest. But to me, when people talk, like, they say, that has to be your number one memory, right? I go, that's not, actually. My number one memory is against Arizona in the Elite Eight of that season, where I did not play. I didn't play bad. I didn't play good or well. I just survived, because that was the most nervous I'd ever been. I never got nervous for a game. But the opportunity to go to a Final Four as a senior was something you dream about as a kid. And without that round of 32 game at Oregon, also, there's an expectation factor for the 2015 team. If we don't get to the Final Four in 2014, is their goal the same in 2015 to go to the national championship? So being down by 13 at halftime at the Bradley Center to Oregon in that game, I wasn't thinking about that shot was breaking the record for all-time three-pointers made in Wisconsin basketball history by Tim Lokum. I'm sitting there at halftime. I don't remember a word Bo Ryan said. I just talked about how, in my head, I can't let this be the end of my career. And it was about those moments, right? Like, it wasn't about we went on an 11-2 run to start the second half. I don't think I did a thing other than play good defensive rebound. I didn't score or whatever. I watched the ball go through the hoop, and I just felt exhilaration because of the team. And although I didn't do much against Arizona, as much as I would have liked to contribute personally, all I cared about was the buzzer going off and the goosebumps I've had for all the work you put in to go to a Final Four. So Michigan was an amazing moment, and hitting the three in overtime to win and celebrating in Madison was amazing. But yes, without that basket and winning that game, is the trajectory of the 2015 team the same as well? And that's things that I've talked about with our teammates. So a big moment nonetheless. And your guy, Sylvie, from Waddle and Sylvie, was in the crowd. He's in that clip. I don't know if you saw him sitting next to Barstool Big Cat, who's a Madison grad. I gave them tickets to that game at the Bradley Center. So it was a big moment. One of my favorite moments ever as a as an athlete.
So I think the other part of this that if you don't mind, I know you guys have lots of highbrow sports talk planned, so I don't want to.
Oh, I'm on the Homer Hour tonight, so I got a ton more today.
Oh, good. Thank God I'm not on the Homer Hour on Friday. So you said something really interesting there about being nervous for that Arizona game. So, and I was telling Tausch this yesterday. So, you know, look, I think Sid's a pretty decent volleyball setter. She played pretty well as a freshman. Yesterday she got her first opportunity to play with the varsity, and it's only summer league. I get it. And you, hey, you've got great summer league moments. You and Giannis playing together, right?
Yeah.
But she's got a lot of me, but she's got a lot of her mom in her too. And she was so pissed after the first game because she didn't play well. And I'm like, look, take a deep breath. It's your first time playing with varsity teammates. It's okay. She had two more varsity matches and then three more JV matches. Yes, but I'm like, look, all right, take a deep breath. That game's over. You know, you guys always hear it, you know, next possession or next play or next at-bat, whatever it is, there's nothing you can do about the past. But she's not a kid who gets nervous. And you were just saying that you were not that guy either until that game. So how do you – what are the tricks of the trade, if you will? Because I'm always looking for ways to help them kind of deal with the different things you face as an athlete, because Lord knows they didn't get a father with a great, vast experience of high-level competition. What do you do to overcome that? Like, how did you just never overcome it in that game, or did you eventually kind of get past it? How did it play out for you?
So that game specifically, heading into the Elite Eight game against Arizona, I had shot the ball incredibly well. I think I was over 50% in the entire NCAA tournament that year, where Arizona was an amazing defensive team, and I was really part of their game plan to make sure that I didn't get good looks. So the best defender on the wing was guarding me, because when I shot well, we usually won. Like, I'm not just saying that because I did it. It's just because it was a big factor of how we were able to have success offensively.
Yep.
So I hit a three in overtime, a big three, actually. It was more so nervous because I wanted something so bad that I aspired to do my entire life. I don't think I just didn't do anything out of character. I didn't force it. And so in my head, maybe I told myself I played worse because I had been scoring and shooting well, but I was definitely nervous because I wanted to do something special. The thing that I would say for them is, in any other game, why I wasn't nervous is if you go back to the preparation and what you did to get to where you are, you have to trust that what you did is setting you up for that moment, right? Like, you're not going to be nervous if you have the confidence in all the work that you put in. You're going to be nervous. It's like taking a test in school. If you didn't study, you're probably going to be nervous. You know why? Because you're not prepared for it. But if you have put in the work and you're ready and you've created game situations in your head and practice or by yourself or in practice with the coaches, and you've pretty much done everything you can do to prepare yourself, and there's no reason to be nervous because you've mastered an art and you got to go out and perform. So there's no reason to be nervous unless it's something you haven't experienced before. And that's something I haven't experienced before. And with age and time becomes more comfortability in what you do. So it's going to be natural for them, but it's all about preparation, anything you do. If you're prepared, you're not going to be nervous. If you're not, people are going to know, and you're going to know internally, and it's probably going to show.
And not that you had a lot of bad games. I'm not saying that, but I'm sure you had a few. And that's one of the things that I was proudest about with Sid yesterday, was that she didn't go in the tank. She felt crappy after that first match, and then she really did. She kind of settled in, and I just think that's so important for any athlete, right? Because no one, not even, you know, Jordan used to do this commercial where he talked about how many times he missed the last shot. And I remember calling it up after Giannis insisted to Eric Name after their NBA playoff exit a couple of years ago that it wasn't a failure. We all have failures. And I disagreed vehemently with Giannis on that, because what you do when you fail is you also learn and grow and you get motivated and all these other things come out of it. But I just, you know, I think even you probably had a few games that you were not pleased with, and then you're eager for the next opportunity to be better.
You go to the gym, and you go back to the basics, you go back to the things that got you to where you are, and you trust and believe that all the work you put in will show up on the performance day. So, yeah.
All right. Well, I didn't mean to crash your show.
I think it's an important moment for Badger history, myself, and the people who ran the scores table for the NCAA tournament at the Bradley Center were the same people who I got to know at Fiserv Forum, and Bo Ryan tells a story, and I tell it as well because it's true. They've done Bradley Center games in the 2001 Eastern Conference Finals. They said that game against Oregon, that was the loudest they had ever heard the Bradley Center. So that's been echoed many times. So that's why I said RIP Bradley Center to the tweet reply to you.
Well, it was an awesome. I'm glad we got to do that. I was in the Bradley Center for those games. I was not there for your shot. I was in Philadelphia for Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals, which, if you're a Bucks fan, completely sucked. But other than that, thank you for sharing your experience. I'm glad that I called. You did not disappoint me the way you often have in the past.
Jason, before we let you go, can I ask why...
That was a joke, by the way, Joshy.
I didn't even hear you finish the sentence. I'm going to be totally honest.
I'm eager to ask this question.
What precipitated the two-fisted slopper video that was sent in the Wildy and Tush group chat today? I did not get a chance to hear this discussed. And I was just curious why something I learned about not long ago, but now has seemingly become something I've seen them show it at AmFam Field now before games. I was wondering why you guys were discussing that.
So that's a good question. And as much as I would love to not show my age, I don't remember what precipitated bringing him up. I do know that it led to this conversation, and Tausch had never heard of him. He had no idea who he was. And I was like, no, come on. He is like an icon. And then, of course, you know, his mind goes directly to the gutter and says, oh,
yeah,
you better watch what you're saying and don't Google that on a work computer. And I did not go there at all, because I remember just this, you know, beer-bellied, tank-top-wearing drunk, cartoonishly making his way through the aisles when I was a kid going to Brewers games at County Stadium. And I was just... I mean, I know I'm a little bit older than Tausch, but he just had his birthday, so I think there's 5 years between us. And the fact that he had never seen it before, I was blown away by that, because he, you know, talk about, I don't want to tell the Brewers how to do their business. They do a great job of marketing. All their different giveaways seem to be huge hits. I don't know how it's possible that there hasn't been a two-fisted slopper bobblehead giveaway.
Yeah. That's such a good point.
Feels like a missed opportunity.
We got to pass that along to the appropriate parties.
I can text Marty Ronsky right now and ask her when we get in the two-fisted slopper. Was that the time when you could bring beers into the stadium? I know you could do that at Packers games. Was that allowed in County Stadium at the time?
So if you listened to Sunday Karma last Sunday, you heard me talk about my childhood experiences of going to Brewers and Packers games growing up at County Stadium. My dad was a serial beat the traffic guy.
Yeah.
we missed the end of the '87
winning streak Easter game because we were in the car for it. The greatest moment I've ever listened to on the radio in my life.
Shout out you.
When Rob Deere and Dale Swaim go yard. My dad had his positive and negative traits, but one thing that I appreciated was that he did not bring his own beer to the games, and he did not drink beer when he was taking us to the games. So I don't know if you were able to bring it in or not. Now, later in my life, when I would go to games without him, I know that there were people in my group, I don't drink, but those who did, who were, I don't want to criticize Jesse's dad specifically, because I don't think it was his fault. But we all know Jesse's dad was an usher.
Yes.
And
what?
Yeah, how people managed to come into the stadium with their own, shall we say, beverages.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. Paul and the girls really want to go to a game this year. We have not carved out time in our schedule to go. If I was going to sneak in a beverage, though, it would be a bubbler drink.
Yep.
It would not be anything alcoholic. I just don't know how they got away with it back then. I don't know if the security was just that lax or what, but, man, I don't know how they brought some of the stuff in they brought in.
Is that a bubbler in your pants, Jason? Are you just happy to see me?
There you go. We went a long way for that, and that was an outstanding line to deliver to close it out. Well done.
Jason, what I need to tell you right now before we let you go is, if you can, on the ESPN Wisconsin app or YouTube or on your radio dial if you're in the area, there is something that you can relate to more than ever that I will share coming up next on Kyle and Bruss. We appreciate the time.
I'm going to stay on hold. That way it's the easiest way for me while I watch
it. Easy enough.